This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Across Northern Ireland, on your radio and on BBC Sounds. This is
The Stephen Nolan Show!
Good morning, everyone. Continued questions for Sinn Féin, which go beyond the political questions that have been asked. These are questions about the fact that Sinn Féin have such a big mandate, that they are such an influential party in Northern Ireland. They do hold the First Minister post. So what does this say about them as a political party and how they're handling these concerns about a person convicted of trying to incite a child under 13 into sexual activity, Michael McMonagle? What does it say about Sinn Féin when we can look through the lens, not an orange or green, it's nothing to do with it, you see. Just looking at a political party and what they do and the questions they ask themselves to protect everybody's children. That's what this programme's about this morning, as well as the politics.
The Stephen Nolan Show!
Good morning and thank you for joining us today. 030 30 80 55 55. The Nolan Show has a new revelation this morning. When Sinn Féin gave references for the now confirmed paedophile, Michael McMonagle, a former press officer for that party, it was disputed who else in the party knew about it. And there have been questions asked all week last week that remain unanswered by Sinn Féin. The new revelation that the Nolan Show has this morning points yet again to Sinn Féin saying one thing and the facts saying another. We can tell you that we have uncovered footage showing Michelle O'Neill, our First Minister, engaging with Fergal MacKinnie, who is at the top of the British Heart Foundation in Stormont. She engaged with Fergal MacKinnie. Why is that important? Because our First Minister told a committee last week she didn't do that. Have a listen.
No, I did not know anything about Michael McMonagle's whereabouts or employment. And I attended an event here in this building, like many of you would have attended the event, because of the support for the campaign. And I engaged with the family on that day, not with anybody who may have been with the British Heart Foundation.
It's not true, First Minister. You engaged with Fergal MacKinnie from the British Heart Foundation. You stood just yards away, just feet away from Michael McMonagle, and you say that you did not see him there. This was someone who you knew on first name terms. This is someone who would have been a key person within Sinn Féin, relating to you, speaking to you on a regular basis. When you found out, you tell us that he had been suspected and under suspicion by the police for child sex offences, you made sure he was driven out of the party. And look, despite the pictures, the public very well may take your words at face value that you didn't spot McMonagle at Stormont. But when you say you did not engage with anyone within the British Heart Foundation at Stormont that day, we're posting on our Twitter feed within the next few minutes images showing you interacting with Fergal MacKinnie. Now, the story around this former Sinn Féin press officer, Michael McMonagle, has been politically scrutinised on the Nolan Show every single day last week. But this is bigger than an individual paedophile, Michael McMonagle. This story now speaks to who is our First Minister. What are Michelle O'Neill's values? That is one of the questions that this whole story brings to the fore. Who is Sinn Féin? What do they stand for? Now, with regards to child abuse, with regards to paedophilia, there is no doubt Michelle O'Neill is saying as loud as the rest of us that she is disgusted about child abuse and as disgusted as any of the rest of us. That is not up for our debate this morning. But there are rare opportunities in Northern Ireland where it is impossible for anyone to drag orange and green into it. This is one of these rare times. Very rare times when Catholic, Protestant, orange, green is irrelevant. So is this an insight into who our First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, is, who Conor Murphy is, who Sinn Féin are? What do they stand for when they are giving out public messaging around safeguarding? The Nolan Show has the following questions for Sinn Féin, for Michelle O'Neill, and for Conor Murphy. Why, First Minister, did you hit out at a charity, the British Heart Foundation? They are saying this morning you damaged them and their staff. As our First Minister, why did you do this?
I'm very confident that whenever we were aware of what we knew in terms of the fact there was a criminal investigation underway, that that then became an issue for the police and justice system to deal with. And I was confident that that was the case. So there are, I think, lessons to be learned for a lot of people here in terms of due diligence of an employer who takes on an employee, for example. And I think everybody needs to learn those lessons.
So you were heading out at the British Heart Foundation. Why did you do that? Are you sorry? It wasn't just you heading out at the British Heart Foundation. Your party colleague, Conor Murphy, was at it too.
Your party was in a position to alert the charity to say you've now employed somebody who was previously employed from us, suspended from us, and also under police investigation. Are you aware of that detail? But you opted not to do that as a party.
Seriously, the BBC asking me these types of questions.
Well, is that a fair question?
I'm wondering what I would have done due diligence if I was employing somebody myself.
Due diligence, exactly the same words then used by Michelle O'Neill. What does your party stand for? Why would you hit out at a charity like that when the story was about your party? Conor Murphy, when it comes to protecting children, why didn't you coordinate your messaging with the PSNI? Why didn't you liaise with the police before sending out what many have interpreted as a dangerous message when you said it would be prejudicial to tell a future employer? From safeguarding experts to the chief constable, they've questioned this. So in the interests of protecting children in the future, where is your retraction, Conor Murphy? Are you concerned about the mixed messaging around safeguarding? What are you about, Sinn Féin, when there's a story about safeguarding children? And back to you, Michelle O'Neill. You tell us you are a First Minister for all. You've apparently expressed regret to the British Heart Foundation. Do you think you need to publicly apologise to them in order to restore any trust that you have broken with that charity? Our political editor, Enda McClafferty, with us this morning. Good morning, Enda.
Good morning, Stephen.
So now we're broadcasting. We're putting the footage up on our Twitter feed within the next few minutes. Michelle O'Neill did speak to Fergal McKinney at Stormont, despite claiming that she didn't engage with anyone at the BHF.
And Michelle O'Neill was pretty clear in a statement at the weekend, Stephen, that she only engaged with the family. So again, we have it in the committee last week and we also have it now in the statement over the course of the weekend. And no doubt that will be one of the questions that Michelle O'Neill will face today if the Speaker agrees to call her to the Assembly Chamber to make an urgent statement and then face questions from the MLAs. But I think there are bigger questions here emerging over the course of the weekend, Stephen, not least around the former HR manager within Sinn Féin. And this is the person who we're now being told a year ago got a call from the charity to say, we have had the references from two of your press team there. We need them verified. The question is, why did that HR manager not put up a red flag? Because they possibly, you would have thought, would have known Michael McMonagall's background. He was under investigation, suspended from the party. Why did that person not feed that information up the food chain, because Michelle O'Neill is telling us, of course, that the leadership was not aware of this interaction between the former HR manager and the charity. So that again raises big questions about the processes behind the scenes. We may get to the bottom of that today, we may not.
So here's what the public are being asked to believe, Enda, with relation to that. That Sinn Féin, a political party which is often tight-knit, where there is communication within it, which is regarded as one of the best in Northern Ireland as a political party, how they operate. We're being asked to believe that Sean McGeer and Keelan McGinley, that's two former press officers in Sinn Féin, that they provided references without telling anyone else in the party. And that may be true. We're now being asked to believe that when the British Heart Foundation contact an HR person within Sinn Féin and say to them, look, we're questioning here why those references were given, that no one from within HR spoke to anyone else within Sinn Féin. The curiosity around getting a phone call like that, the potential trouble that would put Sinn Féin into. And that HR person, we're being asked to believe, sat there and said nothing to anybody.
Yes, Stephen, I think that is a massive issue, I think, for Sinn Féin, because you would have thought at the very least a HR person would have flagged that as a big concern, asked the question as to why were these references provided, and then perhaps try to get to the bottom of this with the leadership team. We're being told none of that happened. So that does raise serious questions about the structures behind the scene in Sinn Féin. If somebody could make that decision on their own without any buy-in from anybody else on the leadership team within Sinn Féin. And I think that is going to be the focus of many of the questions today, now that we know this is in the public domain. Courtesy, I have to say, of the statement over the weekend, but also the charity, because they made it very clear over the weekend as well that this phone call actually happened. And they say it's verification of the fact that their processes work.
I've looked carefully at the apology that the First Minister... It's being reported that she has given. I can see where she's saying that she regrets the British Heart Foundation being dragged into this. I can't see any public apology from Sinn Féin for accusing the British Heart Foundation of not doing due diligence.
No, it's not clear in the statement, Stephen. And if you listen to what Fergal McKinney had to say in his interview this morning with Good Morning Ulster, he said that there were words of regret and apology around what happened. And he was specifically asked if the charity received a direct apology for those comments that were made, and he didn't answer the question. So there's some ambiguity, if you like, around the language being used. Was there a straightforward apology? Was there not? And how was it framed? But it's pretty clear, I think, in Fergal McKinney's mind, the tone was right for him from Michelle O'Neill, and he feels this is all resolved, and it's clear as well that he wants to move on, as does the charity, as does Sinn Féin, but I'm not sure it's going to be that straightforward.
The Deputy Leader, thank you, Enda. The Deputy Leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, Robbie Butler, with us this morning. Good morning, Robbie. Good morning, Robbie.
Good morning.
Good morning. What further questions...
Good morning.
What further questions, Robbie, does your party want to see asked?
Well, I think you've covered a lot of it this morning, but before I do that, I just want to remind anyone that's listening, as a children and young people spokesperson from my own party, that when we're discussing all of this, that this is obviously not a victimless crime, and that there are people who have been impacted by McMonagall's actions, and it's further perpetuated by political failure here to face up into the failures which obviously became more and more apparent last week. So it's very clear that the First Minister needs to come to the Chamber today to face the questions and to give a full account and a full and honest, accurate account of what has happened and what has gone wrong and what steps will be taken to remedy that. Because if you read the accounts over the weekend, for instance, of Maria Cahill, who very bravely around 10 years ago stepped into this arena and faced the wrath of Sinn Féin and others, and continues to this day to face them down, where there hasn't been a full admission in some quarters, and had to force some people into some form of an apology. People are re-traumatised, particularly in and around sexual violence against children. This is a lifelong issue for these victims, and when you see this political malaise or failure, well, then it's an abject failure.
So we now know that Sinn Féin knew those references had been provided over a year ago, not just weeks ago, as they had claimed. And they're saying that this is a serious omission, and they're claiming that someone within HR did not report that into the party. Do you think that's credible, Robbie?
Well, I think that the start of that really goes back. Well, I think what you have to do is get that in context, and you look how the British Heart Foundation were thrown under the bus twice last week, where there seemed to be a determination to shift the blame, emphasis and focus. And thankfully, and bravely, that has been exposed to be a fallacy and untrue. And the difficulty here, I think, for Sinn Féin is they need to now get onto the side of trying to that when they make a statement that they are speaking about everything that they know. And I think the interesting thing, listening into the earlier exchange with Enda, is that the organisation of Sinn Féin as a party, if you were for someone to accept that an HR official didn't feed that information through to senior members and senior elected members is quite crazy. I'm not sure how anybody will buy that line.
Sam McBride from the Belfast Telegraph joining us this morning. I was trying to set out, Sam, at the top of the show, how this is about an issue where Orange and Green, stripped completely out of it, this is enables the public to look at Sinn Féin and ask themselves the question, either positively or negatively, without any optics, of Orange and Green, what does this party stand for, how do they handle themselves, and when it comes to child safety, how important is that to them?
Well, Stephen, I was thinking just over the weekend that I was not expecting to be sitting yesterday talking to Fergal McKinney. I was not expecting to be looking at the front pages of the three daily newspapers today in Northern Ireland, all leading on this story a week after this whole thing started. I mean, that is really evidence of the unusual significance of this, that it crosses sectarian lines, that it crosses all sorts of barriers in our society. People are genuinely annoyed about this. They're dismayed about this. They can see through the nonsense here that is coming from Sinn Féin, where drip by drip, the truth is starting to come out, and the party's incredibly really standing against that process in many cases. There is a situation here where if Sinn Féin had come out last Monday, held up their hands and said, look, we got this badly wrong, we've looked back on it, in hindsight, we can see we made big mistakes. We've dealt with two of the people who were involved in that. And here is the truth, the full position as to how we handled this. I think a lot of reasonable people, and yes, there'll be unreasonable people who for various reasons will not accept that, but a lot of reasonable people would say, you know what, there but for the grace of God could go my business or my organisation. Anybody potentially could be employing somebody who turns out to be a paedophile. How they handle that might be imperfect, but if they're honest about it, if they face up to the imperfection of that, I think a lot of people would give them the bye ball there, whether they should or shouldn't. And that's not what has happened here. We've had a charity really being smeared by senior people from the First Minister down, done in a careful way, done in a way that it was trying to infer something, trying to get us to believe something, to ask certain questions of the British Heart Foundation, when actually the people who clearly knew about this, the people who clearly could have done something about this when it really mattered, were Sinn Féin and Sinn Féin alone.
So what does that say about the biggest party in Northern Ireland? That's what I'm also trying to get to today, Sam. What does it say?
Well, I think quite straightforwardly, it says that even in a situation where you have got somebody who has been exposed as a paedophile, and let's remember here, lest anybody isn't aware of the detail, this man for a long time denied this. That's common with lots of crimes. People deny them through the courts until they're found guilty. But this is not a case where a judge has said this man is guilty. It's not a case where a jury has said he's guilty. He now accepts himself that he has done these crimes. He has pleaded guilty. He is a paedophile. There's no possibility of him being innocent. There's no possibility of this being some sort of deep conspiracy to get at Sinn Féin or get at Michael McMonagle. He admits what he did, even if it's taken him a very long time to do that. So even in these circumstances, where it's as clear cut as it possibly could be, Sinn Féin is really fighting back. It's kicking back against the idea that it has reasonable questions to answer here. And when you look, Stephen, at how the British Heart Foundation and Sinn Féin have reacted to this, there's a massive chasm between them. These are two organisations which genuinely and quite unwittingly found themselves in a situation where they now know they employed a paedophile. That's not something anybody wants to be in, to have happened, to put it at its mildest. It's deeply embarrassing. They're facing questions they don't want to face. None of us would want to face those questions if we were in their position. And yet, how have those two organisations dealt with it? One of them has been straightforward. They have put out statements which have answered questions from people like me, from people like you. I sat down with Fergal McKinney yesterday. He was the one who suggested that we do an interview. I mean, that's how open they're being. He brought me in. He let me sit there for half an hour, whatever it was. He didn't try to pretend that he had something very important to rush off to and cut it short. Where is the transparency from Sinn Féin? There's been one person from Sinn Féin at a senior level in Stormont who's done an interview. It was that interview with Enda McClafferty. And I mean, everybody can hear from the tone of that interview, even from the clip that you played this morning, how incredibly improper Conor Murphy's response to this was. He was turning on the BBC. He was really smarting from the idea that people could ask questions about this. These are reasonable questions and reasonable people expect answers to them.
But this party is instrumental. Sinn Féin are instrumental in legislating for every aspect of our lives. So when they saw a story over recent days about how a paedophile had been lurking within their party, I'm trying to get a sense from the public this morning. Did we expect Sinn Féin to say, well, look, we will do a review within our party of what went wrong here? Because that didn't happen, Sam. Michelle O'Neill was insistent that there was nothing more to see. There was no need for a review. Can that hold, given what's happening?
Well, it's not going to hold in terms of these questions. Whether Sinn Féin does something about it, whether they do come forward to the Assembly and say that, yes, the First Minister should answer questions there, whether she sits down and does a press interview, that's ultimately up to Sinn Féin in many ways. But there are questions here that are continuing to grow. Every time we learn more about this, there are more questions. And these are not trick questions. These are not people trying to be slippery. These are not people trying to catch Sinn Féin out. They're just blindingly obvious questions. So, for instance, late last week, we had this statement on Saturday from the very top of Sinn Féin in Stormont, from the First Minister. And as you've said, she says in that statement, "I am deeply sorry that the British Heart Foundation have been caught up in this unacceptable situation." Now, they haven't been caught up in it in that sense. They have been thrown into this situation by Sinn Féin, suggesting they didn't do due diligence.
Well, they've been accused of not properly doing due diligence into someone who was then a paedophile. So that is a major accusation against the charity. Fergal McKinney saying in his interview, we've asked Fergal to speak to all of you this morning, he's not available. That is a major accusation against a charity, Sam, and it's not withdrawn. Sinn Féin, right to this very second, have not withdrawn the allegation that the British Heart Foundation didn't do proper due diligence. And not from one of them, Conor Murphy, from the First Minister as well, attacking that charity.
And Sinn Féin knows exactly what it's doing here, Stephen. This is a party that's very skillful with communications, despite what things have looked like over the last week. They're trying to shift the blame. They're trying to point fingers. They're trying to widen the arc of those who are in any way now facing very difficult questions over this episode. And if you glance at social media right up until a few minutes ago, you can see Republican after Republican seizing onto what the First Minister has really led them towards here, seizing onto this narrative that really it's the British Heart Foundation who are in the dock here. They're the people who should be facing awkward questions. Lots of anonymous online accounts are picking up on that. I mean, that is something that is traced back, I think it's fair to say, to the leadership that has been given to people who might look to that party for leadership. And there's no acceptance, even in this statement at the weekend that really seems to have been designed to draw a line under this from Sinn Féin's perspective. Michelle O'Neill still can't bring herself to say sorry, can't bring herself to say, you know what, after a few days, I now fully accept that was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. The British Heart Foundation have acted properly here. They're not a group which is in any way sectarian. They're a public-facing charity. They're seeking to help people of all backgrounds who have heart disease, who might need their services. I shouldn't have done that. They've acted properly. Let's move on from that.
Bigger picture. The most important thing in all of this, safeguarding children from sexual abuse. And it doesn't get more important than that. I'm right in saying that Sinn Féin, despite the Chief Constable saying it would not interfere with a police investigation, they're still pumping out, because they haven't retracted it, their position is, do not tell a future employer if you suspect someone is under suspicion of child abuse, because it would prejudice an investigation. Safeguarding charities have said that's nonsense. The Chief Constable has said it's not true. No retraction of that public messaging from our leader in this country.
And Stephen, I just do not believe that when Sinn Féin said that, that they actually believed that was the case. Is it possible? I suppose it is. But I just struggle to believe that people who are so across the detail of how government works, of how the police work, who sit on the policing board in full oversight of lots of what the police do, a major party that has been through sex scandals before, that has particular reason to be knowledgeable about how to handle these things. Any reasonable person, I think, any lay person like me, who's not an expert in this, looking in, thought, that doesn't make sense. How could you possibly prejudice a police investigation where this individual is moving to a charity where you could have a quiet word with that charity? They're not under investigation. They're not a suspect. So you're not tipping them off about something that could be problematic. And if you're not sure about this, go and talk to the police. Say to the police, look, is there a problem with us doing this? No evidence of that ever having happened. And then we're being told now at the weekend that this human resources person at a senior level in Sinn Féin was told that there had been two references given for this man by the British Heart Foundation. They were told by the British Heart Foundation that two press officers in Sinn Féin had given him references. They were told that more than a year ago. And yet we're expected to believe that that individual didn't pass that on within Sinn Féin.
Sam, on my Twitter feed now, it's been posted within the last 10 or 15 minutes. And again, look, you don't know what a First Minister is going to need to tell the public, all of the public, next week or next month. We saw that during COVID, when the public were being told not to leave their very homes by the leaders of this country. So credibility and the reputation for credibility is so important at times of critical events in Northern Ireland. If you look at my Twitter feed this morning, at Stephen Nolan, you will see Michelle O'Neill speaking to Fergal MacKinnie at Stormont at the event where she said she did not engage with anyone other than the family. It is not true what she said. And the photographs tell that story. Where does this leave us, Sam?
Well, I think what would ultimately be more damaging for her, even though that's deeply problematic, is if there is a photo which emerges, or a video, or anything which shows that she was directly engaging with Michael McMonagall. We know that he was present just feet away. We know that he was in her arc of vision, it would seem, from at least one of those photos. She says she didn't see him. And I think for people who don't know, as most people will not, how Stormont is laid out, if you like. They've seen it on TV, but maybe they don't quite understand what it's like. That Stormont Great Hall where they were photographed is large. Yes, absolutely. You can fit a few hundred people in there if you've got an evening event, but it's a big open space. It's the sort of space where if you're at one end of it, you tend to see who's there at the other end, unless it's incredibly busy. And generally it's not that busy. And I mean, I've been there scores of times, maybe more. It's very, very difficult to believe that if somebody who you'd previously worked very closely with in your company, in your employment, whatever it was you did, they'd left your employment, set aside why he'd left, just they'd left, and they happened to be there. It would be strange that either he wouldn't come over to her or she wouldn't go over to him. And even if they were busy, say a couple of words of pleasantries, how are you doing? How are things? Good to see you. I mean, Maybe that didn't happen, but I think a lot of people struggle to believe that didn't happen here.
OK, Sam McBride, thank you. 03030 80 55 55. We'll pick up with you straight after the news. Our questions to the First Minister this morning and to Sinn Féin as a party which has a significant, a massive mandate. Why are you not saying that you will review what happened within your party in order to ensure that children in the future could be protected slightly more? Why would you not do that? You're messaging that it is prejudicial to contact a future employer. The Chief Constable has said he can't see how that's the case. Why wouldn't you provide clarification around that? To the British Heart Foundation, why did two of you, why Conor Murphy, why Michelle O'Neill, did you attack that charity and say they hadn't done their proper due diligence? What is this about this story? And look, it may very well be true, but when you're saying now that an individual within the HR department, I have no idea whether they're senior or who they are, they liaised with the British Heart Foundation over a year ago, and your messaging, your public statements up to just a few days ago was that that was not the case. You'd only recently found out about this. How can people here trust you? What can you do to make sure that as many people in this country do trust you, Michelle? You're our First Minister. Michael in Newton Abbey. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, at the very heart of this is exactly what you've said. It's about trust. It's about honesty. It's about integrity. And we have found over the last week, and still more, there will be more disclosures made. The reality to this is, Stephen, how can I, as a member of the public, have any confidence in a minister and a first minister who have been charged with the safety and well-being of our children when they cannot come out and be honest? And my question to the leaders of the other parties is,
well, Michelle O'Neill would hold on. No, I need to be as fair to our First Minister as is the right thing to do, Michael. You're saying that she hasn't been honest. She is insisting that she is telling you what she knew, and there might have been other people within the party that knew differently, but she's telling you the information she had.
Stephen, that's all fine and well, but the reality to it is the damage that in terms of confidence. That's the bottom line. Now, my question is, and I'm actually surprised you haven't asked this to either the leader of the UUP, the leader of the Alliance Party, or whoever. Do they have confidence in a minister and in a first minister who has called into question the integrity of an organisation such as the British Heart Foundation? And they have been found to be dishonest about their interpretation or about, let us put this way, the role that the British Heart Foundation has played. Now, how can I trust anyone, irrespective of who they are, as a member of the public, with a person who lacks the honesty and transparency to be truthful in respect to the safety and well-being of our children?
There is a question, and we're going to put this into the British Heart Foundation this morning. There is a question. We now know through the British Heart Foundation, we now know that they knew about, let me just read this. Sinn Féin informed about the references in 2023. So we now know through the British Heart Foundation that they had dialogue with a now former senior Sinn Féin HR official where the references from Sinn Féin were verified.
Which Sinn Féin already knew about, Stephen, because this man had resigned the year previous.
So
they were in possession of this information.
So again, you are being told, Michelle O'Neill is your First Minister as much as anybody else's, Michael, no matter what your politics is, right?
Yeah.
So here's the bottom line. You are being told that the British Heart Foundation ring the Sinn Féin HR machine to check references. And not only had the two press officers told nobody else anything, HR had told nobody else anything about that contact either.
Thank you. And therein lies the problem. Integrity and honesty and transparency. Therein lies the problem. And I'm asking the same question again, Stephen. The leaders of the other parties up in Stormont, a simple, straightforward question. Do you have confidence in a minister and in a first minister who lacks the honesty, integrity and transparency? And if not, are they prepared to table a motion to that effect when they are asked to do so at Stormont? This is a major... Stephen, I take you back to the RHI. Sinn Féin pulled the plug without negotiation, without investigation. They pulled the plug then. My question, and they based it upon the lack of integrity of the then First Minister, Arlene Foster. What's the difference?
Well, Arlene Foster, of course, would say she had total integrity and the government should never have been pulled down. But I want to complete my point.
And the investigation confirmed that as well.
I want to complete my point about the British Heart Foundation, though, because there is a question for them this morning. Because we know back in July 2023, so over a year ago, we know mm-hmm. that the British Heart Foundation were questioning those references after they found out that yeah. McMonagall was suspected of being a paedophile.
What? Yeah, but they did not know that, Stephen.
They did. They knew he was under suspicion last year. They did.
They knew he was under suspicion, but the Sinn Féin were in possession of the fact that this man was and had been questioned by the police prior to
Correct. But let me follow my We'll come back to Sinn Féin in a second. But the question for the British Heart Foundation, when they knew last year that there was a question mark over references being provided by Sinn Féin, what did they do over the last year? How is this only becoming public now? Did they have a responsibility to bring into the public domain how Sinn Féin as a political party were providing references which many of you are very, very concerned about? And we'll put that to the BHF and Fergal MacKinnie this morning. And we'll try to get an understanding as to what their thought processes were last year when they found out and why they're only saying this now, this morning. Michael, what do you say to Michelle O'Neill today? What do you want to know from her?
Be honest. Something which, by the way, now, Stephen, it's difficult not to talk about and discuss an issue like this when one looks at the history of Sinn Féin. We look at Liam Adams, we look at Mary Cowell, we look at all of those issues and we look at Sinn Féin's approach to all of those. And it's difficult for someone like me to sit and dealing with a situation such as this in isolation, knowing the history of protectionism and so on that has gone on. There's a wider issue to this whole, and that is Sinn Féin's approach and how they deal with certain issues. And my whole point is back to the whole point of safeguarding of children, sexual predators, sex offences, sexual abuse, etc. And the big issue is this. If you have someone as a First Minister who is prepared to dance on the head of a pin and lack the honesty to be able to come out and turn around and say, we knew, or this is exactly what we knew, and this is being totally honest. If you're afraid to do that, then how is anyone such as me prepared and under any circumstances to have any confidence? And I'm back to the point, how can other members of the AML of Stormont have
Michael, thank you.
Same confidence?
Thank you for calling us today. 03030 80 55 55. We're going to clear the decks and bring more of your calls on air this morning. Maria Cahill joining us. We're talking to other political parties behind the scenes as well. Our caller talked about honesty there. Michelle O'Neill is insisting that she is telling you everything that she knew when she knew it. Now, Bernie McNally is chair of the Safeguarding Board in Northern Ireland. Bernie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
There is a
thank you for having me on.
And thank you for coming on. There is a completely confused message now, in that we have Sinn Féin, their current position remains that you cannot tell a future employer about someone they know to be under suspicion for child sex offences. The Chief Constable has said that's not true, as have other safeguarding experts. What is the position of the Safeguarding Board with regards to that statement from Sinn Féin?
Okay, Stephen, well, thank you very much for having me on, as I said, and we're very happy to discuss what is a very complex issue in relation to safeguarding children. The Chief Constable has already clarified this particular point, although I do understand that it can be a common misperception that you can't share information with other agencies, or that you might, if someone is just under suspicion or being investigated and haven't been convicted in a court of law, there is a common misperception that you can't share information. But I want to absolutely be clear on this, that information sharing is central to the child protection system, to the safeguarding system. Sharing information protects children, and that is so important. I think the important thing that I would say in relation to references and people getting references, the person who has applied for a job, and I'm talking generally here because I don't know the details of the case, but if a person applies for a job, they give consent for references to be picked up. So they will name the person that they want to give them the reference, and they'll name the position they hold, etc., etc., and they will provide that information. They're essentially giving consent to all information relating to them to be handed over to the new organisation. So a person can't go out and publicly say on the radio, oh, so-and-so is being investigated for child abuse. This is a confidential process, so there's no question whatsoever that you can't share information. And the Safeguarding Board want to be very clear on that.
There is no... So Conor Murphy's statement is wrong.
Well, I can't comment on the
you
context
can.
Let me put it like this. We are absolutely clear that sharing information is central to the safeguarding process. So if you know about an individual in your organisation who is a concern to children, and quite often what happens in these situations, Stephen, and I want to put the context of this. First of all, child abuse is devastating for children. It is absolutely life-changing, devastating attack on a child that has lifelong consequences. So this is a really important issue. So if you look at the perpetrators, these perpetrators are clever, they're manipulative, they groom both children and adults. So they groom everyone around them. And they can come across as very kind, caring individuals who everybody likes. I mean, an allegation's made against them. A lot of people don't believe it. They think, oh, no, it couldn't be him, he's a good guy, etc., etc. So it's absolutely clear that we are aware of all of these issues, and try to identify these people, and we identify them in our organisations. Because the important thing that you've got to realise here, that individuals who want to harm children seek out organisations where they can abuse children. They seek out places. They go into schools, they go into youth hostels, they go into youth clubs, they go into social services, they go into police forces, right across the board. So they're very clever, and that's the type of person we're dealing with here. So we as organisations who employ individuals, we have to be really careful about the people we bring into our organisations, but also when we identify someone, we need to be really careful about how we let other people know that these guys are a danger. So that's a really important responsibility of an organisation. In the past, as you know, people have been moved about organisations, people have covered up these guys, they've tried to ignore their behaviours. You know, you can only look at people like Jimmy Savile in the BBC and other paedophiles. They're able to go into organisations and work very, very secretively and dangerously. So when an organisation identifies a person like that, they have to act decisively, they have to get them out of their organisation, and they have to make sure that they share any information they have with another potential employer.
But Bernie, I am not trying to drag you into some type of political dispute. What I'm trying to do here is get, and I think you are being clear, is get clear guidance from the Safeguarding Board in Northern Ireland as to what any of us should do. So we know that Sinn Féin, when they became aware that Michael McMonagall was under police investigation for child sex offences, we know that they took that so seriously that they didn't want him anywhere near their party. Would it have been best practice for them to have informed the British Heart Foundation?
Of course, whenever the British Heart Foundation wrote to them, obviously, through a reference application, and ask them to provide a reference for that individual. It's up to the referee. Normally what happens, again, Stephen, I think it's really important that we clarify the role of a referee. When an applicant makes an application to join an organisation, they have to provide the names and the contact details of a referee. And that referee, those referees are normally asked for two, maybe possibly three. And normally at least one of those referees has to be a line manager, someone who has previous knowledge, detailed knowledge. These references don't go to chief executives or directors of organisations. They go to the line manager of the individual. And the applicant will have given the line manager's name and probably telephone number and contact details, and simply requesting a reference. When that reference comes into that individual, they have a duty to tell the new organisation anything that they know. And these organisations quite often, and I'm talking generally, Stephen, because I don't know the detail of what was, you know, asked for. But most of these references ask things like, in what capacity do you know the person? How long do you know them? Would you re-employ them? Is there any investigations going on? These are standard questions on references
and
forms.
And look,
and the person has an absolute duty to tell the truth.
And I understand that with regards to the individuals who are literally writing the references. So in this occasion, in this instance, it was Sean McGeer and Keelan McGinley, who were two press officers within the Sinn Féin machine. But look, when we have the economy minister, Conor Murphy, saying that it would have been prejudicial for Sinn Féin when it as a party found out that McMonagall was under investigation by the police and was working for the British Heart Foundation. Was it Sinn Féin's duty to inform the British Heart Foundation? Should they have done it?
The Chief Constable, first of all, has been very clear that this would not, sharing information with another organisation would not prejudice.
And therefore, should they have done it?
He's absolutely clear. Whoever knows information should share it. Whoever knows that information should share it. So if someone knows, no matter what grade they are in the organisation, whether they're the chief executive or whether they're the lowest grade of staff, if they know information, if you know information about an individual who has a risk for a child, you have a duty to share that information.
Bernie, I understand. You're the chair of the Safeguarding Board in Northern Ireland. I understand why you are reluctant to speak about Sinn Féin, but you're at the top of this organisation. The Safeguarding Board. It is a straight question. Should Sinn Féin have informed the British Heart Foundation? Yes or no?
Well, I've been clear on that, Stephen. I'm not.
Is it yes or no?
Any questions.
Is it yes or no?
I'm absolutely clear that if the, first of all, the person who provided the reference,
I get the reference. Should Sinn Féin as a party? It is the position of our. It is the position of our economy minister that he couldn't have done so.
That's the process of how you tell them. We can't. These processes are put in place to make sure that people follow the rules. Follow the rules, and the rules are very clear. So there are two. I think you need to differentiate between the rules that are associated with people who are in regulated employment, and that is a teacher, a social worker, a police officer, anybody who's in a regulated employment. There are particular rules relating to those individuals, and that's the process for telling involves a reference to what is known as the DBS service. It's a disclosure and barring service. So if you're in a regulated position, you have a statutory duty, not just a moral duty, you have a statutory duty to inform the disclosure and barring service that someone in a regulated position has been investigated for child abuse or has been convicted for child abuse. If they're convicted, that will go automatically to the disclosure and barring service. But if they're in a process and you're made aware of that, you have a statutory duty if you are that organisation. If that person is not in a regulated position and not in a regulated job like a teacher or lawyer or teacher or a police officer or social worker or care worker in that regard, they do not have a statutory duty to report that to the DP.
What if they're a minister
and
in government?
Just let me make this point, Stephen. If an employer is taking up references, people might say, well, why wouldn't you do an XSNI check or why wouldn't you do a DBS check? They're not allowed to do a DBS check unless that person is in a regulated position. So an ordinary organisation that the person that is being employed is not in a regulated position, if they tried to do an XSNI DBS check, they would get a sent back because they're not allowed to do that. It's only related that is only related to regulated employment. In a situation where a person is in a non-regulated position, which I'm assuming a press officer would be, the process for alerting another organisation is the references. Now, having said all that, if I knew or you knew of somebody who was working with children or in a vulnerable
I don't know why you keep
position,
on broadening this. We are talking here about the biggest political party in Northern Ireland. I'm going to ask the question one more time. Should Sinn Féin have alerted the British Heart Foundation?
Yes, they should. And the process for doing that is through the references. Yes, they should.
Aside from the references, position of the leadership of Sinn Féin, the current position of Conor Murphy, he's a minister in our government.
I think I've been clear on that, Stephen. If he has any information, if he or anybody in any organisation or any citizen has information that about a child at risk from an individual that they know to be a risk to that child, they have a duty to share that information.
Thank you.
The best way of doing that, because we have to be careful here, Stephen, that we don't frighten organisations. Setting this whole scandal aside, organisations every day are dealing with these issues. Everybody out in the community are dealing with these issues every day. So we want to make sure, we want to be clear what the process is. And what I would advise people to do in relation to this, there's a number of things that they can do, is that these organisations should have, particularly if they're a big organisation like a political party, they should have designated safeguarding officers who can give them good advice as to what to do. That's the first thing. Secondly, if they don't, they should be able to have access to that advice. And thirdly, if they have a concern about a child or they're concerned about an individual who is a risk to children, phone the local social services gateway team, phone the local police and say, I've got a concern about this person, can you deal?
What if your concern is ill-founded, though, and what if you're smearing an innocent person?
Well, that will come out in due course, because at the end of the day, the safety and well-being of children is absolutely paramount. So, again, these are confidential processes. If you go to and make an allegation about someone, there is a process for investigating that. And for normally what would happen is an organisation would probably temporarily suspend somebody, precautionary suspension. They would investigate it.
Okay.
They would take information from other people. It's not a question of just immediately knee-jerk reaction that every allegation that is made... That people are black and burning,
we're
going to not.
We're going to have to leave it there. But thank you so much, Bernie. And that has been informative. So thank you. Bernie McNally, Chair of the Safeguarding Board in Northern Ireland. Good morning. 4 minutes past 10, the Nolan Show from the BBC. Sinn Féin have issued a statement. It reads as follows. Sinn Féin Vice President Michelle O'Neill has reiterated, this was issued on Saturday, has this morning reiterated her anger and disgust that two former press officers at Stormont had provided references to Michael McMonagall. Ms O'Neill has again set out the decisive action that was taken to ensure that both individuals were held accountable for their unacceptable actions. Both have lost their positions as press officers and are no longer members of the party. Well, look, the question I would ask around those first couple of sentences is that our First Minister has expressed her anger and disgust about the two press officers, but she didn't sack them. She chose to allow them to resign. What pension benefits does that allow those two press officers to continue to have? If Sinn Féin were so disgusted, why didn't they sack these two individuals? Why did they allow them to resign? And whether Sinn Féin engages with this programme or any other programme around questions, we'll continue to ask them through statements and ask them questions about their statements. The Sinn Féin statement continues. On behalf of Sinn Féin, Ms O'Neill has apologised for the hurt and distress caused by their actions and has vowed that a situation like this will never arise again. Well, Michelle O'Neill, you're apologising for the actions of the two press officers, Sean McGeer and Keelan McGinley. But you're not apologising, First Minister, for what you have done, are you? You're not apologising for hitting out at the British Heart Foundation, nor is Conor Murphy. Do you both still hold the position today that the British Heart Foundation did not do proper due diligence? Fergal McKinney, at the top of the BHF, has said that that has caused anxiety and stress and distress to his staff for that charity. Do you apologise to the British Heart Foundation for your words, Michelle, when you said this?
I'm very confident that whenever we were aware of what we knew in terms of the fact there was a criminal investigation underway, that that then became an issue for the police and justice system to deal with. And I was confident that that was the case. So there are, I think, lessons to be learned for a lot of people here in terms of due diligence of an employer who takes on an employee, for example. And I think everybody needs to learn those lessons.
And that hinting, Michelle, at the BHF, you don't name them, but everybody knew who you were talking about. Why didn't you name them? Lessons for everyone. You were heading out at a charity. That's what you were doing. And in your carefully worded statement, all statements are carefully worded, there's nothing wrong with that, you have chosen to apologise for what the press officers did, but not for what you did. So you stand over, do you, heading out at the British Heart Foundation. You've continued in your statement to say Michael McMonagall's actions are utterly reprehensible and he is being held fully accountable under the law. His crimes have inflicted significant harm on his innocent victims. There is nothing more reprehensible than the abuse of a child. In August 2021, when Michael McMonagall informed Sinn Féin of his arrest and questioning concerning serious criminal offences, the party took decisive action. Well, is that the case, Sinn Féin? Would decisive action have meant you playing your part in making sure that his pass, which gave him access to the Stormont buildings, was suspended or cancelled? Because that pass wasn't suspended or cancelled, was it? Your party didn't tell the Assembly authorities, despite the fact that you knew. Why not? So McMonagall continued to have access, the ability to access, the building which represents our democracy. Sinn Féin continue in their statement, in line with our child protection policy and human resources handbook, he was immediately suspended from party membership and his position as a press officer, with his employment terminated in June 2022 when his contract ended. You talk about this handbook. What does the handbook say about the British Heart Foundation, an instance like that, when they then contact your HR department and you're telling us that that wasn't referred up either? You say in your statement, I was made aware of his suspension and I had no further contact with him. But when you became aware of his suspension, Did your party sit down, Michelle O'Neill, because you are the party which is heading out at the BHF? Did you sit down and have some type of meeting in the interests of children and protecting children in this country and say, what must we do here? What are our responsibilities? Where is this pass? What public messaging should we issue now? You would have been restricted because he was under suspicion. What do we need to make sure in terms of McMonagall? What did you do? On the 14th of February 2023, you say, I attended an event at the Great Hall and Parliament Building, Stormont, in support of the Donate for Dahi campaign hosted by the British Heart Foundation. My sole focus, you say, was on Dahi and supporting the family to raise awareness for the campaign. I was not aware that Michael McMonagall was at this event, and I had no knowledge that he had gained employment with the British Heart Foundation. So it's a well-rehearsed line now. The media's been talking about it for many days. He's standing just feet away from you, and you weren't aware he was at that event. And that is what you're saying, and many people will believe you. But you also, First Minister, said this.
No, I did not know anything about Michael McMonagall's whereabouts or employment. And I attended an event here in this building, like many of you would have attended the event, because of the support for the campaign. And I engaged with the family on that day, not with anybody who may have been with the British Heart Foundation.
It is not true. Go on to my Twitter feed now and look at the pictures. The Nolan Show has uncovered these photographs, these images from footage this morning. They clearly show you, First Minister, engaging with Fergal McKinney from the British Heart Foundation. It is not true when you said you did not engage with anyone from the BHF, and the photographs show it. And if that's not true, what else isn't true? You say on Wednesday the 25th of September, Sinn Féin and I were informed that two press officers, who were former colleagues of Michael McMonagall, had provided employment references for him. I am absolutely appalled and horrified that this occurred. These references were given without the knowledge or authorisation of the party. Under no circumstances would the party provide a reference, for work or otherwise, for Michael McMonagall. Your party did provide those references. Those two press officers were contacted, Fergal McKinney said this morning, because they were the employees of Sinn Féin. That's what the BHF have said. The party, you say, took immediate action against both individuals, but you didn't sack them, did you? Who interviewed those two press officers? Who gave the instruction that they could no longer remain within the party? Had the Army Council anything to do with it? Did they get involved? Who gave the instruction? Was it you, Michelle O'Neill, as our First Minister? And if it was, why were they allowed to resign? Their actions constituted gross misconduct, which would result in their dismissal, you say. As the party process was ongoing, both individuals resigned their positions and terminated their party membership with immediate effect on Saturday the 28th of September. You could have, First Minister, refused the resignation and sacked them. You chose not to do so. Why? On behalf of Sinn Féin, Michelle O'Neill says, I apologise for the hurt and distress caused by their actions. So yet again, this is all being pivoted on the two individuals and no apology from Sinn Féin. I've also established, says Michelle, on Thursday of this week that in August 2023, following media reports of charges against McMonagall, the British Heart Foundation contacted Sinn Féin's former HR manager to verify the email address and identity of the senior press officer who had provided the reference the previous year, which the HR manager did. This contact from the British Heart Foundation was not brought to my attention or the attention of the Sinn Féin leadership at that time. This was a serious omission. This morning, says our First Minister, I spoke with Fergal McKinney, head of the British Heart Foundation in Northern Ireland, to discuss the situation. This is an organisation that does great work providing support, research and advocacy services. I am deeply sorry that they have been caught up in this unacceptable situation. I look forward to a continued constructive relationship with the British Heart Foundation in promoting heart health. You, Sinn Féin, are one of the most powerful institutions in Northern Ireland. When you attack that charity, you now describe it as caught up in this unacceptable situation. You caught them up. Not one but two of you publicly attacked them. You caught them up. Do you apologise for it, or do you stand over your pronouncements that the British Heart Foundation did not do proper due diligence? You say Sinn Féin will be issuing instructions to all managers and members of staff regarding future requests for character references. This is beyond references, though, isn't it? This is about Conor Murphy's pronouncements. This is about you, Michelle O'Neill, and your pronouncements. As a political leader and a mother, I want to be clear that the issue of child safeguarding is of paramount importance to me. The Sinn Féin leadership and I will ensure that a situation like this will never happen again. 0330 80 55 55. Phillips in Belfast. Morning, Philip.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, there's a few things here. Like, where is this guy, Michael Nye? I take it he's in prison, I would imagine.
He's waiting to be sentenced.
The other thing is this going to bring the government down again? That's another thing, right? Potentially.
Well, Gavin Robinson has recently ruled out pulling down the government, something that Sinn Féin has not done. So therefore, it would be unlikely, wouldn't it, that the government would collapse?
Yeah, well, hopefully that is the case, Stephen, yes, but how much did these here guys know about this guy, Michael? I can't say his surname.
McMonagall.
McMonagall. How much did these here references, you know about him before putting him forward?
Well, at the point that Sean McGeer and Keelan McGinley, those two former Sinn Féin press officers, issued those references, they knew that he was under suspicion. In other words, he was being investigated by the police. But there is a presumption of innocence in this country. And they might very well have thought to themselves, look, we're providing references for someone here who, in the eyes of the law, is an innocent person. Mary in Belfast. Morning, Mary.
Hello, good morning, Stephen. Hi. However unpalatable they may now find it, Sinn Féin has facilitated the wholesale move of this chap who they knew, Michael McMonagall. They knew he was under suspicion of having arrested, and everything that they knew at that stage, which of course should have been relayed to the charity. But basically all of their actions covered, allowed him to move from one organisation to another. Then they followed it up with references. I mean, their role is indefensible in this. I think they are horrendously uncomfortable, and rightly so. They have questions about, I mean, Conor Murphy's attitude as well as the content of what he was saying. He was wrong. And Bernie McNally and that wonderful lady from the safeguarding board terrifically clarified that this morning. I had wondered why the charity, why Fergal McKinney was saying that they wouldn't be doing checks, but obviously it's not deemed a protected role, therefore. But there's something needs to be tightened within the processes within the charity, that one and any other one, that would prevent this scenario. Because imagine this wasn't Sinn Féin, a high profile, taking politics completely out of it. If this wasn't a well-known organisation on one side, all of this would be continuing under nobody's notice. And McMonagall would have been free to act until the police process correctly caught up with him. And but because there was the focus in relation to the high profile of being Sinn Féin, that there was more public scrutiny on it, and rightly so. But there are a lot of lessons to be learned from this. But Sinn Féin have absolutely not one leg. They have no defence from a lot of what they've said and everything that they have done in relation to this. And you're completely right. Those two and their press officers should have been sacked, not allowed to resign.
We've been asking a lot of questions about Michelle O'Neill. What about Mylou McDonald? On Friday morning, she was interviewed on the local radio station LMFM in the Republic. She was asked by presenter Alan Cantwell if she was sure no one else in the party knew that the references had been provided by Sean McGeer and Keelan McGinley.
Okay, just to bring this to a conclusion then, from what you know and your interactions with Michelle O'Neill or whomever within the party, that these two individuals acted independently without the knowledge of anybody inside the party at a senior level?
Absolutely, absolutely. These were unauthorised references, and not alone did they, was their action a gross misconduct. What makes matters worse is having given these job references, and as the story unfolded, up to and including charges being pressed, and then until there was an inquiry from the media, neither of the individuals came forward to inform anybody in the organisation that they had taken this action. So they acted entirely without authorisation. Their conduct represented gross misconduct. They no longer work for us. They're no longer members of the party. So to reassure you and your listeners, when this came to our attention, we acted immediately. Michelle O'Neill acted immediately, and she acted decisively.
But in a statement on Saturday, Michelle O'Neill confirmed that despite what the party said last week, an HMR manager was told about the references by the charity last year. She said the leadership was not informed. It was, she said, a serious omission. Michelle O'Neill said they found out last Thursday, and that was the day before Mary Lou McDonald gave that interview to LMFM. Now, Mary Lou McDonald was also asked why Conor Murphy had wrongly suggested informing the British Heart Foundation about Michael McMonagle could have prejudiced the police investigation.
The Chief Constable has made the position, clarified the position. And that is, as it is, just bear in mind that Conor Murphy, Michelle O'Neill, nobody had any hand, act or part or involvement with Michael McMonagle. So it's not as though anybody had information that they weren't prepared to pass on. I think Conor's remarks were speculative. The Chief Constable has now clarified what the legal position is. The most important thing here, in my opinion, Alan, is that those who were responsible for writing unauthorised references, which was an outrageous thing to do, have faced consequences for that. And just to repeat, we won't tolerate that type of behaviour. I have to tell you, I can't give you an explanation how or why on earth anybody would have thought it an appropriate action to write any form of job reference for this individual. I will never be able to give you an explanation as to how anybody would have thought that an appropriate thing to do. It clearly was not.
Speculative. Conor Murphy's pronouncements were speculative. So let me get this right, Sinn Féin. The most important messaging around protecting children from sex abuse, passing information on so that it doesn't happen. You think it's okay, do you, for your minister to be speculative around when and how you can pass messaging on about suspicions of child sex abuse? Speculative. The presenter in LMFM also put it to Mary Lou McDonald if it was a stretch to suggest the First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, did not see McMonagle at the organ donation event at Stormont for Young Dahi.
No, I don't think it is. Just remember, the Michael McMonagle has now pleaded guilty to the most serious and egregious of offences. I think the very last person that he would be reaching out to would be anybody within the leadership of Sinn Féin. And the event in question that you're referring to, Alan, I think was around Young Dahi. There's a huge campaign. Dahi needs a heart transplant. He's an incredible little boy from Belfast. And let me tell you, having been at many events with Dahi once he's in the room, he soaks up all of the oxygen, all attention and eyes are on him. And I can well understand in those circumstances how Michelle wouldn't have noticed anybody else, you know, in fairness.
We have been speaking to Maria Cahill this morning, and she's been setting out what her view is of the questions which remain unanswered.
I think the same questions that the media have been asking them all week. I mean, effectively, what has happened here is that they battened down the hatches at the start of the week, and then they drip-fed out bits of information until they were forced to, actually, by the British Heart Foundation, unfortunately. That charity then had to go back because its reputation was maligned in the public domain. If the charity had decided not to respond to that, then we wouldn't be any the wiser in relation to, for example, the fact that they had gone back to the Sinn Féin party to speak to a member of their HR team who we understand they're saying is no longer with them. What we need to know, did Mary Lou McDonald know at any time that Mr McMonagall was being investigated for those particular types of offences? That's important. Did anyone in the Ard Cóiríne know? Did the party chair know? Who else in Sinn Féin knew? Are they expecting the public to believe that the only people that knew were the staff within the press office team? I find that that stretches credulity.
Well, that is what they're saying, isn't it? They said they didn't know.
Well, here's my opinion on this, Stephen, and they can take it whatever way they like. I believe that over the last week there has been an attempt to effectively gaslight the public. You know, they're asking the public to believe that they can't see with their own eyes, that they can't hear with their own ears, and anything that they do see and hear is not what happened because the Sinn Féin party is giving a different account. And those accounts have been conflicting over the last week, and that means that there has to be a better way of being able to provide answers, and I think that that has to come from the party president and the First Minister in both of their roles, north and south of the border. And I'm not talking about them reading off a script here. I'm talking about them opening themselves properly, transparently, and saying, right, OK, what questions would you like to ask? We'll answer them for you now. And that then necessitates a full and open sharing then with the public in order to keep confidence in the institution. I think that's very important, because what has happened now is that the confidence, or the lack of confidence rather, within that party has now bled out to the executive, and that's really, really unfortunate. So rather than Sinn Féin attempt to take responsibility for this at the start of last week, they allowed their executive colleagues to be dragged into this as well, because they were all asked to comment on it based on information that they had at the time. Now that information has now shifted, and those executive colleagues must be pretty angry at the minute, because if it was me, I would be.
One of the fundamental questions here is, how do we protect future children from future paedophiles? And the public are trying to weigh up, I guess, Maria, in any big organisation, sometimes information will not be conveyed. I think they're trying to weigh up that against a political party trying to protect its reputation, and what is coming first.
And that's the problem. That is the crux of this problem. I said to you last Monday that this party has a culture when it comes to dealing with cases like this. And that culture still continues as far as the party isn't being transparent, properly transparent about everything that it knows and the steps that it took and the steps that it's going to take in the future. And I say that as a victim who has come up against Sinn Féin in the public arena around the case and what happened to them. And I say that as a victim who still actually hasn't had an apology so many years on for how the party treated her, me, in the public domain. Hasn't had an admission even that I was questioned in Sinn Féin party offices by the IRA. Hasn't had an admission that I was placed in their room with my rapist. So that's why I don't have any confidence in how this party deals with things going forward. Because if they can't actually be honest around a case that has been in the public domain for 10 years, how on earth is the public supposed to have confidence in how they're dealing with a case that has been in the public domain for a week?
Maria, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it for today. Let's see what answers come within the next 24 hours as this story continues to raise questions about what the biggest political party in Northern Ireland knew, when they knew it, and their public statements to us about what we should do when we know something's going on. We'll see you in the morning.
The biggest show in the country.
Listen again on BBC Sounds. Tweet @StephenNolan.